This morning we are continuing in our study as we go through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're quickly coming up to the end of the book. And 2 weeks ago, we started on the segment of 1 Corinthians that deals with spiritual gifts. And we see that spiritual gifts were given to the church to help us manifest Jesus, to help us as a church and as individuals to point people to Jesus, to show people who Jesus is. And spiritual gifts, we were told that these spiritual gifts will work and will be useful until such a time when the Lord Jesus returns. Because at that time, we won't need these spiritual gifts anymore to manifest Jesus, to point people to Jesus, because he will be here. He himself will be here. And that's why Paul says, look, we're exercising these gifts in part. Right? He says we're exercising these gifts in part only as much as we are able to, because none of us are perfect. And we exercise these things in part until that day when the Lord comes, and then these gifts will cease. And Paul reminds us that all these spiritual gifts will profit us nothing if we do not have love as the main driving motivation, as a main foundation beneath all these gifts, behind all these gifts. So he stresses again and again that love is the most important motivation behind each spiritual gift, that love ought to be at the root of everything that we do, that love is the most important commandment that the Lord gave us, that we need to love the Lord our God, and we need to love one another. Right, and so this morning we come now to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Right, so up to this point, Paul has now defined what the spiritual gifts are. He's laid down the foundation that must support and drive all the spiritual gifts. And now this morning, Paul is going to give us some practical details on how to exercise these gifts. And the title for this morning's sermon, if you noticed, is administration. And administration, as we saw in our study so far, is one of the spiritual gifts that's listed in chapter 12. Now, the original word for administration is also translated as government or organizers. Not government as in those who are in power over us, in authority over us, but government as in you are governing something, you are running something. And so it's the gift. This gift of administration is a gift that is able to keep things running. Pay attention to details, looking at the practical matters. So chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is the what of spiritual gifts. Chapter 13 is the why of spiritual gifts. And chapter 14 is going to cover some of the how of spiritual gifts. And so if you haven't turned there already, turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to start right at verse 1. Paul writes this to us. Chapter 14, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love because, again, first of all, without love, none of these things matter. And as you have love, then you need to desire to have these spiritual gifts to manifest that love, to manifest Jesus. And but now here Paul says, but after you have pursued love, as you are desiring these spiritual gifts, desire especially that you may prophesy. Now, we covered some of these things in Bible study on Thursday, but I think it would be good to go over it again, especially for those who weren't there at Bible study. And I want to look at what it means to prophesy. What it means to prophesy. Now, think to yourself, what is the first few things that come to mind when you hear the words prophesy? To the act of prophesying, or prophecy, which is when you prophesy? What are the things that come to mind? Now, in the Bible, we see that there are different facets to prophesying. Right, to prophesy, when we look at what the word means, there's a lot. It's a very full and rich word, right? There's the idea of to prophesy is to speak forth by divine inspirations, to say something that is divinely inspired, not by your own thought, not something that you came up with, but the Lord has given you a word to speak. Or another facet of that is to predict. To be able to predict something that is coming. There's this idea of foretelling future events, especially pertaining to the kingdom of God. Or when we come back to speaking by divine inspiration, to speak, to declare something that can only be known by a divine revelation. Now, in the Old Testament, we see prophecies again and again from prophets. And what prophets would do is the Lord would speak to them, right? We see many times the prophets, they come to the Lord God and they commune with him. And in that time they spend with him, he speaks to them and gives them a word. Not like a word, like one single word, but he gives them something to say to the people of Israel. And then these prophets then will come to the people of Israel as a representative, as a mouthpiece of God, and they would tell the people what God has said. And so you'll see time and time and time again in the Old Testament, the prophets will begin with, "Thus saith the Lord," meaning what I am about to relay to you. It's not my words. It's not my thoughts. It's not that I spent all night thinking about what you guys need to hear, but the Lord spoke these things to me and I have come to relay these thoughts to you, these words to you. And so prophets in the Old Testament, they receive word from God and then they would give the word to the Israelites. And many times these words from the Lord spoke of what is to come. But not for the sake of telling the future, but to tell the children of Israel many times. You see this in many of the prophecies. God telling the children of Israel, you are going to stray. You are going to be unfaithful. You are going to go off course. These things are going to happen as a result of your lack of faith or your unfaithfulness. And so, as a warning, now, while it is not too late, turn back around. The Lord is always using prophecies to reveal something about himself, about his nature, about what displeases him, but also as a way to tell the children of Israel, come back, come back. Come back to me because I love you and I want you to myself. Stop straying. And so this is in the Old Testament. The use of the prophecies is to bring the people of God back to himself. In the New Testament, prophecy or to prophesy, it is done to speak something that comes by revelation of the Spirit. To prophesy is to speak words that build up the church. Okay, and how do I know this? Let's take a look at a few other verses in this chapter. So while you're here in chapter 14, let's look at verse 3. Verse 3, Paul writes this, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." He who prophesies, this is what the person who prophesies speaks. These are the words that come out of him. He speaks edification, he speaks exhortation, and he speaks comfort to men. Edification. What is edification? Edification is the act of building up. It is the act of promoting another person's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. So the whole act of edification is to make someone more, to build them up, to make them more mature, to make them more wise, to bring them more into the kingdom of God. That's edification. What is exhortation? Exhortation is the act of, it's a calling. It is a calling or it's a summons. It's an admonition at times. It's an encouragement. It's persuasive discourse. To exhort someone through your words is to say, come on, let's do this. or you shouldn't do that, to encourage people or to direct people, to point them in the right direction. Comfort, I think, is pretty self-explanatory. It's through comfort, you calm and you console someone with the Word of God. Now, first and foremost, I pray, and I hope and pray that these Sunday sermons have been edifying, encouraging, and comforting to at least some of you, and I pray to all of you. I hope and I pray, I really do pray each time as we come to share the Word of God, that this is not just an opportunity for me to stand here and spout what I think, but rather my prayer always is that as I come to share, that these are words from the Lord and that they build someone up, that they encourage someone to do more, and that they comfort those who need the comfort. But this is the thing. Paul says that we should all desire to prophesy. We should all desire to prophesy. We should all desire to speak words that would build up, that would encourage, and that would console your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I hope this clears up some misconceptions, if you may have had, about what prophecy is. It's not about telling the future. It's not about coming to someone and saying, can you pray and ask the Lord what's going to happen so I can prepare for it? Can you pray and ask the Lord, are we going to have a power outage next week so we can go out and buy power banks? And okay, do all that, but we're not coming and seeking prophecies to tell the future to see what's going to happen. Whether in the Old Testament, when the prophets were speaking of what's to come, or in the New Testament, which we are living in right now, where we speak words of encouragement and edification, all of these prophecies come by revelation from the Holy Spirit. They come by revelation from the Holy Spirit. It is what the Lord wants us to speak, and you would see yourself as a vessel. As a vessel, and the Lord looks and he says, okay, I'm going to use this one this morning. And he points to you and he taps you and he gives you the word that you would speak. And he uses you as his mouthpiece to encourage those who would hear your words, to encourage those who are around you. But it has to come. The prophecy has to come by divine revelation. And we see this. We see this when Paul describes why the prophecies are so important in the meeting. So jump down with me to verses 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 24 to 25 says this, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Well, what is the context here? In this part, in this passage, what Paul was explaining to the church in Corinth was they desired to speak in tongues. And so Paul is addressing the gift of speaking in tongues, and he says, speaking in tongues is good, but when you speak in tongues, unless you have an interpreter present, people can't understand what you are saying. It's great as a means of communication between you and God, and pray to God alone in tongues, great. But in the public setting, in the meeting, people are not going to understand what you're saying if you speak in tongues. But he says here, if you're prophesying, if you're speaking a word from the Lord that is a encouragement, an exhortation, a edification, a comfort, when you do that, when someone who comes to your midst who either is not a believer or is uninformed, doesn't know about God, when they come into your midst, when you hear you prophesy, this is what could happen. So look back at the verse again. He is convinced by all by hearing what you're saying, and he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. Now just step back a little bit and think about this. What kind of words could I possibly say that could reveal a secret in your heart I don't know what's going on in your heart, but the Lord knows. And so the only way the words that I speak could possibly convince and convict you and reveal to you the secrets of your heart are if those words come from the Lord. I don't know if you've experienced this before. I have. Coming into a meeting, hearing the pastor preach, and you're sitting there, and the pastor is just on fire from the Lord, and he's preaching away, and you're sitting there, you're nodding, thinking, amen, amen. All of a sudden, he says something from the Word of God that just hits you right in the heart. And the Lord speaks to you directly through that pastor, as if that pastor knew what it is that you've been up to. And this has happened to me where I'm sitting in the seat and all of a sudden I'm frozen. I'm frozen looking up. How does he know? How did he know what I've been up to? How did he know the sins that I've been committing? How did he know how I've been straying from the Lord? And I'm sitting there. I'm aghast. I'm embarrassed. He knows. Maybe everyone knows. But the pastor many times does not know what's going on in your heart. He's merely a vessel being used by the Lord to speak what you as a person need to hear from God. God knows. God knows what's in your heart. God knows what's going on. And he speaks through the person who is prophesying and pokes at you, convicts you. This has happened also the other way around, where I have been sharing a word from the Lord. And, you know, I am convicted by the Lord to say certain things, and there are times where, okay, this is what's in the Bible. I need to preach it. I need to teach it, and I'm just going to lay it out there, but I don't know who it's going to affect. I don't know who it's going to touch. And then after, somebody comes to me and says, this is something I've been struggling with, and the Lord really convicted me in this matter. This is something that I needed to hear. And I will also confess this. There are times as I'm preparing a sermon, I'm thinking, oh, person X really needs to hear this. Right? And maybe you've done this too. As you read the Bible, you think, person X really needs to hear this. And so you're thinking, the Lord is really going to do a work in person X. They're going to really be convicted. But more often than not, person X is not the one who responds. Because the Lord knows perhaps they're not ready yet, or this is not the time for them to address. Another person, I had no idea they were dealing with this, would come up and say, Jason, this is exactly what I needed to hear. And so the Lord knows what is in our hearts. The Lord knows the secrets that we keep. And the Lord knows how to get to us, how to convince us, and how to convict us. And the only way these words that I or anyone else says can possibly reveal these secrets, again, comes back to it has to be divinely inspired. Inspired, revealed by the Spirit. Look also at verses 29 and 30. Here, Paul is speaking of, in a meeting, how should prophecies be spoken? And he says here, let two or three prophets speak. If there are two or three people who have a word from the Lord, let them speak and let others judge, in that those who are listening, they are also receiving from the Lord, and they need to judge whether or not these words come from the Lord. But look at verse 30. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silence. So what Paul is saying is this, there's an orderly way to conduct these meetings. If someone is speaking and sharing a word from the Lord, and if at that moment the Lord gives revelation to another person, the first person who's speaking should stop and allow the second person to speak, because the Lord has called on them, so to speak, to come forth and share something. Now, the thing I want to point to is that verse 30, Paul says, if anything is revealed to another. Again, it's not like a person is sitting there and he's thinking, I don't like what Jason is saying, so I'm going to stand up and you know, say something else. But the Lord reveals. Prophecies have to be revealed by the Lord. Now, how does that work? Many times it is a thought that comes into our head, and then we have to test it against Scripture to see if it really is from the Lord or if it's something we came up with on our own. But these revelations come to us. Sometimes it's an inclination to want to push from the Lord to say something. And this has happened to me many times in other meetings that I've joined, other Bible studies and that I've been part of. You know, as we're reading and, you know, we take time to read and take time to digest the word, and then it's time to share. There's been several occasions where the Lord has put a thought in my heart. And you maybe have felt this before, where all of a sudden, I don't want to talk about the physical attributes of what I'm feeling, because it's different from person to person, but sometimes it's almost like there's a warmth building up, and it's like the words are bubbling and bubbling, and the Lord is pushing and saying, say it. And there's times where, because I'm timid or whatever, I don't say it, and within 5 seconds, another brother or sister will speak up. And without fail, they will say exactly what the Lord had prompted me to say. Exactly. And I sit there and I think, well, I missed my chance again. But that's what I mean, a revelation from the Lord. And when it comes time to say it, the Lord says, say it. And if you're not going to say it, someone else will. But the main point is that the revelation needs to come. The prophecy needs to come by divine revelation from the Spirit. Now, the next question I want to ask is this. Is it only the pastor who prophesies? Is it only ministers, full-time ministers who prophesy? And I would say this. The pastor should prophesy. The pastor should not be using the pulpit for his own agenda. Absolutely not. The pastor needs to be a transparent mouthpiece for the Lord. The pastor should prophesy. The minister should prophesy. But the gift of prophecy is not and should not be limited to the pastor or the minister. We meet during the week for Bible study. And I'm going to advertise that right now. Thursday nights, 7 p.m., we meet on Zoom for Bible study. Okay? End advertisement. We meet for Bible study each week, and our goal for these Bible studies is for everyone to come together and to share what the Lord speaks to each person through the passage that we are studying that week. And so there is homework for the Bible study. The homework is read the passage ahead of time and meditate on it and see how the Lord moves you, see how the Lord inclines you, see how the Lord leads you, and then treasure that in your heart and bring that to share in the Bible study. And it's not the Bible study, it's not an exposition for any one person to come and demonstrate how much they've studied or how well they know the passage. That's not what we do the Bible. That's not why we have the Bible study. The reason we have the Bible study is that it's a time to share what the Lord has revealed to you, to each brother and to each sister, what the Lord has revealed to you through His Word. And so I would say this, the Bible study that we hold on Thursday evenings, it is a time for us to get together and practice exercising the gift of prophecy. Thursday night Bible study is a time for us to get together and practice exercising the gift of prophecy. Why do we do this? Paul says himself, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so again, in case you missed it, the 3-4 other times I've said it, Thursday nights, 7 p.m., that's your opportunity to come and put this into practice, to desire to prophesy. Oh, but I don't know what to share, Jason. I don't know where to start. You know what? None of us knew what to share. None of us knew where to start. We all come before the Lord a blank slate. And I know that this is a thought that we may have sometimes, and I can say this because I felt it too. Monday mornings, I join a minister's meeting. 6:30 a.m. It's hard to be cognitively awake at 6:30 a.m. for me, at least. But, you know, here I am in a Zoom meeting with many of these ministers, some of whom have been serving the Lord for longer than I have been alive. And so when I'm in this meeting, I am intimidated. I'm one of the youngest ministers, and I feel like, what can I possibly say that someone doesn't already know? What can I possibly bring to this meeting that could possibly edify these spiritual giants? I look around and I think, I need to come and learn and learn and absorb. But the Lord, again, like I shared earlier, has convicted me. There's been times when He's moved me to say something and I've missed that chance and someone else said it. And the times when I have brought myself to share, people have been blessed by it. Not that we're seeking to judge how well we share by how many people are blessed, but we simply share it because the Lord moves us to. Now back to what I was saying, we don't know. We don't know what to share. We feel like what I have is not good enough, right? It's like if you come to a potluck. When you come to a potluck and everyone else that's come to the potluck are the top chefs in the world, you're going to feel intimidated. You're going to feel like, I don't know what to do. But here's the thing. There's a good starting point. There's a good starting point to prepare yourself for what to share. Ask yourself this as a starting point. What does this Bible passage show me about Jesus? That's always a good point to start. What does this Bible passage show me about Jesus? So if we take this chapter, for example, right? On Thursday, we studied chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Take this chapter. One of the things that might come to your mind when you ask, what does this passage show me about Jesus? One thing that might come to you might be, well, Jesus said that He would send His Holy Spirit. And He said also here that the spiritual gifts are given through the Holy Spirit. And Paul says that we should seek to edify the church by the exercising of prophecy. And so when you put all this together, Jesus must really care about the church. And He must really care about building up the church. And this is another way that Jesus shows His love to us. That's one thing that you might get from this chapter. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself as you read this, okay, so the gifts are for building up one another. But I've been so focused on how spiritual gifts can benefit me, and I've been so focused on what it can bring to me and what blessings I can get. And Jesus shows me through this chapter that I'm going about it all wrong. And so He's shown me, Jesus has shown me this week through this chapter what His heart really desires for me as a Christian and how I should approach the exercising of spiritual gifts. And like Jonathan was praying earlier, Jesus is gentle and He rebukes us, yes, and He corrects us, yes, but He's gentle and He steers us back to the way we need to go. And sometimes that's what the Word of God reveals to us about Jesus, is that He is telling us we're going the wrong way and we need to correct our course. That's something that you would have gained from this chapter that you could share in the Bible study. Or maybe it's as simple as this. As you read this chapter, maybe what the Lord speaks to you is Jesus wants His meetings to be orderly. Jesus doesn't like it when His meetings are done all out of order and chaotically. And maybe that's what the Lord reveals to you, and it reveals something about Jesus and His character and His nature. And that's something you can bring. And you know, maybe that's a short, quick thought, but don't look at it as that's not worth bringing to the group because it's not a whole lot. Every little bit adds to the discussion. Every little bit adds. Every little bit edifies the church. That's the whole point of prophesying. Whatever it is that you decide to bring to the Bible study, whatever it is that the Lord has put on your heart to bring to the Bible study, know that God intended to use you with what you have gained, to use you and to use what you bring to the Bible study to edify, to exhort, and to comfort the rest of us who are in that meeting, myself included. Time and again in these Bible studies, I've learned something from what someone shares. I've been blessed by what someone shares. We all have something to gain, but that also means we all need to have something to give. Right? We can't come and just say, give, give, give. You know, I want to take, take, take. We need to come ready to share also. Now, for those of you who do come to the Bible studies, I would say this is all a pretty good primer on how to prepare for the Bible study. How to prepare yourself to be used by the Lord to prophesy. And I hope once 4 days later, when we gather together Thursday evening for Bible study, that each of you has a new appreciation for this meeting, for why we come together. And each of you have come with less trepidation and intimidation in your heart, and a heart that's more willing to just lay yourself out there to be used by the Lord to bless each person. Now, for the rest of you who are not coming to the Bible studies, maybe this can be an enticement for you to join the Bible study. Maybe it can be an encouragement to you to join the Bible study. We would love to hear what the Lord would say through you. I know many people would advertise a Bible study as come and learn. Yes, and you would come and learn. We do value that. But come and share also, because we are all hungry for what the Lord would speak. And each person brings something. So for those that are not part of the Bible study, if you don't know how to get to the Bible study on Zoom, get in touch with one of us that are in it. Or get in touch with me. Or go on a church website. One of the links on the church website will take you to the Zoom meeting that will bring you to the Bible study on Thursday night. That's prophecy in a nutshell. And that's what I wanted to draw out from what Paul gives us in terms of how to run our meetings, how to administer spiritual gifts. Because he places an emphasis on the gift of prophecy. And so I wanted to take that apart and look at what it's for. Prophecy is, in a nutshell, is this. The Holy Spirit speaks through us, through me, through you. Yes, you. The Holy Spirit speaks through you and gives brothers and sisters a revelation, a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. The Lord desires. I want to really drive this home this morning. The Lord desires for you to exercise spiritual gifts. He desires for you especially to exercise this gift of prophecy. And so my encouragement to you is to come together. Let us come together with the mind of edifying, exhorting, and comforting one another through the use of the spiritual gift of prophecy. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you have given us, Lord, what it is that we need to exercise these spiritual gifts. And I thank you that you point us this morning, Lord, especially to the gift of prophecy. And I thank you that you clear up any misconceptions we may have about what prophecy is. I pray for each person that is hearing these words this morning, Lord, that we would all avail ourselves, that we would all be willing, Lord, to make ourselves useful as your mouthpiece. And that we don't look, Lord, at whether or not we are eloquent enough, like Moses did. And we don't look, Lord, at whether or not we have enough knowledge to share. That we are not looking, Lord, to puff ourselves up and showing that we know a lot. But, Lord, that we simply humble ourselves, each and every one of ourselves, that we humble ourselves, Lord, to be used by you to edify your church. Do this work in our midst, Lord, and convince and convict each one of us that we all have a part to play in your kingdom, that we all have available to us, Lord, this Holy Spirit that would speak through us, and may we all desire the gift of prophecy. Light that fire in our hearts, Jesus. Light that fire in each of our hearts that we may truly, truly desire the gift of prophecy this morning. I thank you for this gift. I thank you for the power through which you help us to exercise it. I thank you for your word this morning. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.